Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is the next in a series looking at the financial implications of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. And in today's episode, I want to talk about the mobilization and specifically the equipment and the kit that is being provided to all of the people being mobilized and the amount of training they're being given. And then to look at how quickly these guys are actually being sent into Ukraine to go into battle and talk about some of the reports of deaths that have occurred so far amongst the mobilized troops. So in today's video, we'll have a look at the detailed list of items that people have been asked to bring with them, and there's some surprising things in there. We'll then talk about the equipment that's being supplied and have a look at a statement that came out recently from the Ministry of Defence in the UK, which claims that some of these recruits are actually having to buy their own safety equipment to take with them because the Russian authorities is not providing it to them. We'll then have a look at the training that's being provided, how long they're being given, what sort of level of training, how well equipped these guys are to go into battle. And then we'll have a look at how quickly these people are being sent to Ukraine, because President Putin has made a statement recently confirming the number of these new recruits that are actually on the ground in Ukraine right now. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary. So what I think the implications of all of this are for the mobilization, the people of Russia and the Russian economy. Because as this news starts to spread on social media, it will cause more concern and it's likely to have a knock-on impact to the number of people who are leaving Russia, which has a direct relationship to the future success of the Russian economy. So before we get started on all of that, if I could ask you to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video, if you're enjoying the content, please subscribe if you haven't done so already. Don't forget, I always include chapters in these videos, so if you don't have time to watch the whole thing, you can skip through and just watch the sections you'd like to see. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look below where you'll find links to YouTube Super Thanks and membership, as well as Buy Me a Coffee, Patreon and Amazon shopping links. Once again, thank you so much to everybody that supported me. I really appreciate it. When you think about the concept of joining the army, quite often you see glossy videos which talk about all the countries in the world that you can visit, how you can learn a skill, train, develop, become somebody who's a respected member of society. And it all sounds very exciting. But I think the situation in Russia right now doesn't quite fit that bill. The people who are being given mobilization tickets are being told to report to conscription officers, and then they're being given a minimum amount of training, a minimum amount of equipment, and being sent off to an active war zone in Ukraine. Now, President Putin announced on the 21st of September that 300,000 additional troops were needed to go to the fight. And this was the first time that Russia had called for a mobilization since World War II, which was around 80 years ago. This isn't something that people in modern society expect to happen. When you're having your breakfast in the morning before heading off for your daily routine, you don't expect the knock on the door and a guy in military fatigues to hand you a letter saying, "Please come with me, you're off to Ukraine." But unfortunately, that's what's happening in Russia right now. And the financial side of this has really not been fleshed out. None of the people who are receiving their papers are being given detailed financial packages. They don't really know what they're going to be paid. They don't know how it's going to work with regards to their existing job, whether that job will even be there when they return back from Ukraine, if they return back from Ukraine in one piece. And the Russian authorities don't appear to have worked out the details as to how they're going to pay for all of the equipment that these 300,000 additional soldiers need. So it's now come to light that all of the people who are being conscripted are being given a list of items that they're recommended to bring with them. So essentially what's happening here is the Russian authorities are saying to all of the individuals, you should bring all of this kit with you because you won't be supplied with it automatically. So let's have a look at this list of items and go through each individually. The list of items that conscripts are recommended to take with them include personal hygiene items, thermal underwear, a chemical heating pad, a flashlight, a balaclava, tactical gloves, a camping seat, batteries, a quadrocopter, binoculars, an optical sight, and a night vision device. So personal hygiene items basically means any items that you want for personal washing or keeping clean. So essentially soap, shampoo, shaving equipment, all of those sort of items. Now, I don't know about you, but if I get told that I'm being forced to go to Ukraine to fight in a war that I don't really support, I want somebody to actually provide me with all of the basics for human existence. And that includes food and personal hygiene items. All of the people who have been recruited as part of this mobilisation have normal lives. They're going about their daily business, so they expect to be able to get up, have a wash, clean themselves, wash their hair, have a shave, all of those things if they want to do that. When you go to war, you don't really expect to have to take all of your supplies with you. It's a basic right to be able to wash and clean yourself, and if the authorities can't provide you with that, then that really changes the concept of this war into something that is really starting to become quite horrific. Thermal underwear is the next on the list, and I guess this gives an indication as to what the weather is likely to be over the course of the next few months. As I've mentioned before, the winter in Russia and Ukraine is extremely cold. This is what caused the downfall of Hitler when he tried to invade Russia back in World War II. A lot of the tanks that he sent in froze, and the German offensive was taken down by the Russian winter. And it's likely that all of the people being mobilized will be going into Ukraine over the course of the winter period. So suggesting thermal underwear is a good idea, obviously, because you want to stay warm, but I don't think that will keep these people warm. All of the recruits need to be provided with appropriate equipment to make sure that they can keep warm and stay alive through the course of an extreme winter. So mentioning thermal underwear is a bit of a joke. If these guys are not being given protective equipment to keep them warm, then it's likely that the soldiers will have major problems in addition to what's going on in the fighting. And the same applies to a chemical heating pad. Although, as most of these chemical heating pads tend to be single use, this seems to be a bit of an irrelevance because you don't want to take something with you that's going to last for 20 minutes, half an hour, when you're likely to be in Ukraine for the next 3 months. A flashlight and some batteries are also on the list. And again, you would think that this would be very basic equipment to be provided to soldiers. You don't expect to have to take your own flashlight into a war environment. If Russia can't afford to provide flashlights to all of the soldiers, then my concern would be, what else can't they afford to give them? You need to be given everything to survive in a war zone. Having a flashlight is probably not going to save your life. Having extra batteries is just going to weigh you down. So it seems slightly ridiculous, but also very concerning that the Russian authorities are asking all of these recruits to take their own flashlights and batteries. A balaclava and tactical gloves are next on the list. And again, this seems like very basic equipment. If you're going into an area where the temperatures could get down to minus 20 degrees, you obviously need to have gloves. They can't send you into a war without any gloves because people will literally be getting frostbite and their fingers will be falling off their hands. And in those sorts of environments, you also need to wear a balaclava. So again, this seems very concerning that the Russian authorities are basically selling all of these recruits to bring their own clothing with them in order to go into war. And of course, if you've got your own clothing, it's unlikely to be military grade. Most people don't have military grade gloves lying around their house. This is not something you wear on a normal daily basis. So any gloves that people do take with them are likely to be insufficient for those purposes. So it may actually be better not to take your gloves with you and be issued with the military grade, rather than taking ineffectual gloves and being told that you'll have to use your own because there's not enough of the others to go around. Now, a camping seat is next on the list, which is probably one of the most ridiculous items, because if you're going into war, I don't think you're concerned about being able to have a nice sit down at any point. You will be worried about your life. You'll be worried about getting out of there alive. So sitting around on the camp seat having a chat is probably not something that's top of your list. And in terms of carrying that camping seat around, you can imagine what a hassle that would be. If I'd been handed the conscription papers in Russia, the four most concerning items on this list would be the quadrocopter, the binoculars, the optical sight, and the night vision goggles. And just to clarify exactly what those things are, a quadrocopter is essentially a drone. I think most people know what binoculars are, but they're field glasses or spy glasses. An optical sight is the long-range viewing device that you often see mounted on top of rifles. And night vision goggles are basically binoculars that enable you to see in the dark. Now, these items are special military equipment. They should all be provided by the Russian authorities as part of the kit if needed. So to be asking recruits to bring their own drones or optical sights or night vision goggles seems absolutely insane. That tells me that the Russian authorities simply don't have enough kit. It is insane to be calling people up to send them to war without giving them enough equipment. Now, in terms of training and equipment, it's been reported that the recruits who are being mobilized as part of this effort are being trained and sent out to Ukraine within a matter of 10 days. And that's a really big concern because a lot of the people who are receiving these conscription notices have no background of any military experience at all. So initially, President Putin indicated that it would only be reservists who had received the call. So that would mean that people who previously served in the military who are now in the reserve corps. But that doesn't seem to have been applied on the ground. Many people have got those papers who have absolutely no military background. And whilst there are no official reports, the reports that are coming through on social media and from people's families are that individuals are going through a very rapid and basic boot camp training program and then being sent over to Ukraine. And it's also been reported that the equipment and the kit that is being issued is out of date and insufficient. And this statement was recently issued by the UK Defence Intelligence, which said many reservists are likely required to purchase their own body armour, especially the modern 6B45 vest, which is meant to be on general issue to combat units as part of the Ratnik personnel equipment programme. This vest has been selling on Russian online shopping sites for 40,000 rubles, around $640, up from around 12,000 rubles in April. Now, in terms of the number of people who've actually been mobilised and sent to Ukraine since the mobilisation was announced on the 21st of September, Russia's Defence Ministry has confirmed that 200,000 have already been registered, 33,000 of them are already in military units, and 16,000 are already fighting in Ukraine. President Putin believes that the mobilisation will be completed by the end of October, so all 300,000 people will have been conscripted. And reports are now coming through of the first round of people who've been conscripted as part of this mobilisation dying in battle. Andrei Nikiforov was a lawyer working in St. Petersburg who was drafted into the Russian army as part of the mobilisation 4 days after President Putin's announcement. Alexander Zelensky, president of the Neva Bar Association, of which Nikiforov was a member, said that he had been notified about the call-up and that Nikiforov gathered his belongings the next day and went to the training centre. Less than 2 weeks later, the lawyer was one of the first mobilised men to be killed as Ukraine pushed forward with its successful counteroffensive. He was one of three mobilised men aged 32, 40 and 42 who died in Ukraine on October the 8th. In addition to these deaths, the Russian authorities confirmed that five other mobilised men had been killed on the same day. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video because I think the mobilisation is one of the big turning points in this war. Up until that point, everything that was going on in Ukraine was only being done by the military and it wasn't really affecting the main population of Russia. Everybody was being told it was a special military operation, it wasn't a war, we don't need to worry about what's happening. When the mobilization news came out, all of the people realized, firstly, they were at war, so this was much more serious than just a special military operation. And secondly, the war was not going to plan. Because you don't need to mobilise more forces if you're winning the war. The fact that you're needing to take people out of their daily lives and send them to Ukraine tells all of the people of Russia that things are not going to plan. But worse than that, the actual implication was that it could be your brother or your husband or your father or your son who receives those papers and is sent over to Ukraine. So that's fairly horrific in itself. But then when you add on top of that, the fact that Russia is simply not prepared for these additional 300,000 troops. It doesn't have the amount of equipment. It doesn't have any protective gear. It's not telling people how the finances are going to work. It's not keeping people's jobs open. Nothing has been planned. Everything is being done ad hoc on the hoof as they go along. And that's sending panic through the whole of Russia. And if you're one of those people who receives those conscription papers, this is really frightening. Because you're being told that you should bring all of the things you need for war with you. Now, that's the last thing that you want to hear. You want to hear that this is a professionally run operation and everything that you need will be supplied and it will all be brand new and in working order. But that's not happening. People are being told to bring their own protective equipment, to bring even some military equipment that would be needed in battle. And that is totally terrifying if you're one of the people receiving these papers. And then what we're hearing now is that the turnaround time is really quick. People are being recruited and sent to Ukraine in less than 2 weeks. Now, there is absolutely no way that anybody can receive sufficient training in under 2 weeks. Even if you were a reservist and you were in the army 10 years ago, 2 weeks isn't really enough time to be able to get back up to speed. But if you're somebody who has no military background, then 2 weeks is nothing. And these guys are being sent into an actual war zone. So they're going into areas where they're under fire, where there are trained Ukrainian soldiers who are there with sophisticated equipment, who are able to take everybody down. So this is terrible. And from an economic perspective, this is really bad news for Russia. Firstly, there's the cost of the war. And it's clear that they don't have enough money to keep paying for all the essential costs because they're asking people to bring their own kit with them. Secondly, there's the economic cost of the sanctions. The direct result of this war is that the West has brought in the most comprehensive package of sanctions against any country ever. And that is going to really hurt the Russian economy in the long term. But then when you add on top of that, the fact that they're losing millions of people from the workforce. It's been reported that 500,000 people left as a part of the brain drain. So these are the most intelligent, the most highly attractive part of your workforce, who all left voluntarily at the start of the war because they didn't agree with what was going on or because the companies that they were working for wanted them to relocate overseas. In addition to that, we've had around 700,000 people who've left over the course of the last few weeks because of the mobilization. They don't want to be mobilized. They would rather go and start their lives somewhere else than run the risk of being killed in Ukraine. And then on top of that, we've got 300,000 people who have actually been mobilized. So they've actually been taken out of their jobs, put into a uniform and sent to Ukraine. So we've got around 1.5 million people who've been taken out of the workforce at the time when Russia needs them the most to stay where they are, to keep their businesses moving forward, to keep developing those companies, to try to win new customers, because they're losing customers hand over fist as a result of the sanctions. So all of this is a really bad idea from an economic perspective. And the really frightening thing about the whole situation is that there's no end in sight, because Russia recently annexed the four areas of Ukraine that they're occupying. So from an official Russian perspective, these areas are now part of Russia in the same way as they annexed Crimea back in 2014. So Russia now believes that they've just moved their border and all they want to do now is agree a peace settlement to move forward. Now, from Ukraine's point of view, that's the last thing that they want to do. Ukraine is still upset about losing Crimea back in 2014, and it is definitely not going to agree to the four areas that are currently occupied by Russia being annexed. Over 80% of the people who live in those areas actually fled when Russia invaded. Russia subsequently held a referendum and said that 95% of the people voted in favour of joining Russia. However, a lot of those people were coerced. So they had guys with machine guns sitting on tanks outside of their houses. But the vast majority of people who live there aren't actually there at the moment to vote anyway. They all fled. So that puts an enormous question mark over the validity of those referendums. So Ukraine is not going to give this land up easily. And Ukraine is being heavily backed by the West here. It's being given lots of money and lots of military equipment to keep the fight going. So they're in a very strong position. And President Putin is not going to back down. He will not change his mind. He will definitely not say that Russia is going to pull out and all of the land can revert back to Ukraine. So we've got two sides who are very much entrenched at the moment. So that means that there is a potential that this war could go on for years. When Russia invaded Chechnya in 2000, the war lasted for 9 years. Now, I'm not saying that this one will last for 9 years, but it could easily last for the rest of 2022 and well into 2023, possibly even into 2024. And that is the most frightening thing for Russia's economy, because that means that they will have open-ended mobilization. So they may continue calling up more and more people. And each time they do that, it's likely to lead to a bigger exodus. Because the next time that they announce a mobilization, we could see millions of people making a break for the border. And obviously that will impact on the workforce and accelerate the decline of all of the companies and the economy of Russia. And all of this is coming at a time when they're losing all of their markets. So oil and gas have been at the heart of the Russian economy over the last 20 years. They've lost all of the sales to the West. They're trying to replace those sales with sales to India and China. But obviously, the West does not want them to do that. So the longer that this war goes on, the higher the likelihood that the secondary sanctions will be applied against China and India and every other country in the world, and Russia's markets will diminish even further. So all of this is absolutely disastrous news for the Russian economy. So I wanted to post this video really to give you more perspective on what this mobilization means. It's not just about people being called up to fight in Ukraine. There are massive knock-on implications here for the Russian economy. Russia is shooting itself in the foot on a daily basis. And the longer this war goes on, the worse it's going to get. So hopefully you've enjoyed today's video. You found it interesting, educational, and thought-provoking. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get you guys to think outside the box. When you hear about something happening, take a step back, have a think about what the knock-on implications of that could be for everybody in the world. Because as I've said before on many occasions, the world is interconnected. So when something happens on the other side of the world, it could very easily have an impact on your daily life. So please give me a thumbs up if you've enjoyed today's video, and don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already.